This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show, because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. It's Lee Salisbury here with a brand new edition of your behind-the-scenes television podcast, Soap from the Box. If you've only just joined us, welcome aboard. Where have you been? If you've joined us for the more than 60 episodes that you can listen to right now, then you know what treats you're in store for. We go behind the scenes and I talk to the biggest stars of the biggest TV shows. EastEnders, Coronation Street, Emmerdale, Hollyoaks, Neighbours, even though it's not on anymore, we still love it, and Home and Away. And that's where we're heading today. It's cold, it's November, we all need a bit of sunshine in our lives. So here is my interview with Home and Away heartthrob Paddy O'Connor, who plays Dean. Enjoy. In the show, he has played Dean Thompson for over 3 years, coming into Home and Away as part of the River Boys criminal gang, soon becoming one of the show's most popular characters, definitely at the top of my mum's Father Christmas list. It's actually his first professional gig on TV. Off screen, another Charlene and Scott, aka Carly and Jason, is kind of happening as his partner, who plays his on-screen love interest, Siggy, also is his real-life girlfriend, especially for you, little thing there, Carly and Jason. It's a pleasure to welcome Patrick O'Connor. Hello, mate.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. As I said, you are top of my mum's Christmas list, so I'll have to get a shout-out for her later.
That was a very nice introduction.
So it's weird, isn't it? Because the River Boys are a criminal gang, but they seem to have a huge fan base, including like my mum, even though it's something she'd be like, if I was involved in that gang, do you know what I mean? I can imagine.
Totally, yeah. It's still, I mean, I think at times you do forget that the River Boys are actually, a bit of a dangerous gang, because especially once you've been on a while, I mean, you can't be bad all the time.
Yeah, no, you can't be bad on the time on the soap. And everyone always says that. You have to have a comeuppance on the soap as well, don't you? Like, you can't really get away with anything, even if it's like community service of picking up litter or something. Something has to happen.
Definitely, most definitely.
So, I mean, it was your first big job. And obviously the River Boys were already a huge part of the show. The Braxton brothers were absolutely massive. So was it kind of obviously amazing to be joining the River Boys, but then it must be quite a pressure as well.
Yeah, I mean, when I first read the character brief for when they were doing like the auditions for Dean, it was they were all coupled up with Colby, who appeared on the show with me as well at the same time, same debut. And once they like released that, like the Blood and Sand, the River Boys were coming back, I'm like, oh, there's a bit of pressure, because my younger sister watched Home and Away when the River Boys were like at their peak for like four years.
Oh, wow, okay.
They were on. Yeah, and I told her about it. She's like, oh my gosh, you're gonna have to get a tattoo. And I'm like, oh. And that was pretty cool at the start, being like, oh well, Blood and Sand, like I don't have any tattoos, so I thought, you know, it's pretty exciting. But definitely the fan base for the River Boys before I came on was obviously huge, and I don't think to the audience anyone could really ever replace them. So I tried to take that on board, and then, you know, kind of just do a bit of my own spin.
Bit of range. But yeah, because that's what I've read that about you, actually, because Brax was obviously one of the hugest River Boys.
Oh, massive.
And I mean, massive. And I mean, he was kind of, yeah, that level that you're like, oh my God. And I'm sure the show's always like, oh my God, when someone like that's decided to leave. But you purposely, I think, chose to make him quite different, didn't you? Not just kind of go in and replace a character.
Yeah. And I, like, Steve was also like when you step on the set, everyone really loved having Steve around, like, you know, and obviously his character's legendary in the audience. So when you kind of, when that kind of happens, you do try to do your own thing, I think, naturally, instead of just kind of copying someone or just trying to replace something else. But it was a lot of fun. I mean, like, I still think one of the if you get a character on the show that does, is a part of a game, the fun you have with those kind of roles is yeah, really cool.
Yeah, I think I've always said, working in Steve as well, firstly, how annoying that Steve was also a really nice guy. I mean, not only are you replacing a massive character, you also, if he was a horrible guy, it'd be great. It'd be like, at least I'm coming in as a nice one. Do you know what I mean? It's double the bloody pressure to take on, isn't it?
But, I know.
But so that's exactly the thing, because a lot of people, you know, I think a lot of actors I know will quite happily say this, that in the end, a lot of characters almost slightly turn into them because they're playing it day in, day out, unless you kind of play someone that's like a baddie or something, because then you're totally removed from your own life, aren't you?
Oh, definitely. Like, I think they like try and they have like a character, I guess, idea or an arc going for like the first 6 months, because they can only write so far ahead. And then once they kind of see how you're kind of you're warming
see if you're
up
popular.
To your character, and it kind of exactly, or you know, there'll be an accident. But they tend to like write and like adjust a little bit, so it should get kind of easier. And yeah, you're right. Like once you do play a certain character for so long, everything should get a bit easier.
Now, I also read that it's quite cool that you watch the show, obviously, before you audition. I mean, that's a number one tip for anyone going to an audition. Probably watch the show that you're going for. The amount of auditions I've done where people have gone, I've never watched it. You're like, wow.
I don't know
the parts. I know. But yeah, you also got some advice from ex-actors who played River Boys, didn't you? I think two, I'm right in saying.
Yeah, I spoke to, I'm through a friend of a friend. I know Nick Westaway and Lincoln Eunice, and they both just said, try to have as much fun as you can. Like, don't get too, it can be overwhelming when you step onto set for the first time at Home and Away, because it's like usually about 60 people on any given
yeah,
day.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, it's a lot, like, it's a lot to process in one hit. So they said, just take your time. Like, the role naturally will be a bit of fun at the start. So just, you know, enjoy it as much as you can. And that really helped coming from those guys. So.
And yeah, you're right.
Took the pressure off a bit.
Yeah, you're right though, because I mean, so you can answer this question over everyone that's been on the podcast. So basically, yeah, did you screen test as well? Did you go into screen test like on a set?
We did like screen tests in like through the auditions, and then we did a couple like opposite other actors.
Okay, because that's quite nerve wracking, isn't it? As well.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Who did you have?
Yeah. Well, it was pretty funny because they auditioned Dean and Colby together. There was like four different Deans and four different Colbys.
Oh, okay,
doing
yeah.
Like eight separate auditions. Oh, it was crazy. It was mental. But it was so fortunate because I'd known Tim. Me and Tim went to the same acting school, but he'd graduated a few years before I had. But I did know him. So we kind of we were very lucky to see each other, and then we just kind of crossed fingers and gave it a good shot.
Oh, that's good. I mean, it's kind of like kind of a weird blind date, isn't it? You just keep mix and matching people. It's really hilarious.
Oh, so,
you're like,
so
that
much.
Sister will go yeah. better with that mum, but that brother yes. definitely won't fit in there. It's like so weird.
It's so interesting. Like just some of the combinations, like if they'd gone with anybody else or cast totally different Dean and Colby's, then, you know, completely different dynamic.
Yeah. But yeah, first day on set. So did you, because a lot of people obviously, and I've been there for quite a few people's first day on set and taking them from like the audition process and giving them the role. And I mean, obviously everyone comes on and it's absolutely nerve wracking because like you said, there's about 60 people. But where was your first scene? Because what we've discovered on the podcast is the producer basically made most people do their first scene like in a pub, at a charity event or some huge, massive kind of thing. Were you unlucky to get that as well?
It was pretty chaotic. I think George Mason, who was playing Ash at the time, it's at the back of a funeral.
Oh, see? Yeah.
It's so long ago. It was
just something with all the cast there.
Oh, it was all the cast. And then, like, I think Alf was there and he looks over and...
Oh, my God.
There's like 10 of us rocking up in, like, four different cars. And I remember being so nervous because I was like, if they have to call cut, you've got to reset everything.
Yeah, just, oh God.
It was mental. But it was good because there were so many, there was also a lot of, I guess, George was there and a lot of friendly faces that they try and take the pressure off a bit. But man, I was terrified.
Yeah.
Naturally.
And so, you're another one to add to the massive list then of actors doing their first day on the job. You've set a new record with a funeral. That's like, wow. But and obviously, you say friendly faces, but I've been on the set before and you know a lot of the actors, not that they're not friendly, but they're kind of weighing everyone up who's new. They're kind of thinking, well, because we've auditioned them, the actors haven't met them. And then you can see them all kind of going, are they going to fit in? Do I think they're good at acting?
I think there's always an element, like when a new actor, it's so funny because that still hasn't like shook over the years. It's like you kind of, you don't know how someone's going to fit in.
No.
And then a month passes and it's almost like, how did they not? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, how does this place exist without them? Yeah.
Yeah, like it all blends together so quick. I mean, like the show's been running for, 34 years or something. And I guess that's how it does, because everything, you kind of just jump onto the train and it just keeps going and you either go with it or you don't.
And an actor said to me really interestingly from EastEnders, actually, and I'm sure you did kind of this, because over here, say, EastEnders is totally different from, say, Corrie. And he said he spent a lot of the time in between getting the job and going into the first day, kind of watching how everyone else acted, because he said you need to pitch yourself kind of at the right level. You know, kind of every show's got a different way of kind of, it's not that it's a different acting, but it's got a different vibe. Do you know what I mean? Did you kind of look
Definitely.
Thinking, and another mate I know kind of said he looked at kind of what was missing in the cast. And kind of, so yeah. He knew the pressure was on to kind of on his first 4 months and kind of chose a unique thing. Did you kind of do all of that?
I mean, I think it took me about a month of being there to get a vibe of like the actual, I guess, story of like what Home and Away is, like the fact it's a soap, what works for characters throughout that and what doesn't work. And yeah, you're right. Like, what can you bring? And because there is a tendency, not that it follows it every single time, but a lot of characters start off bad and then they move towards a redeeming kind of direction.
Yeah.
You've really got to play the highs and the lows, especially on a soap that runs so often. And I guess in that sense, you do look at it and you go, what can I bring? And how do I kind of keep that interesting?
And then the key is, do you also walk on set and think, who do I want to be paired up with love interest wise? I mean, surely you must do that. You're like, I hope I get them.
I mean, I did way back when I was with Sophie,
Yeah, obviously not now. But, you obviously can't do that now.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the beginning. Yeah. Right. Well, we are going to kick off with what we normally end with, but I thought we'd kick off with a bit, which is the X soap. So Home and Away, pointless facts game. Now, the thing here is for you not to probably know the answers, but it's more takeaway. We're really kind on the podcast, information for people at home. So these are also quite interesting. I wonder if you know any of these. So Lynn McGranger last year was incredible. She basically obviously studied Home and Away at university as well as being in it. But okay, so what was the show originally going to be called?
Oh, no, I've been told this. I've been told this once.
This is a key point of actors, though, you know, because you learn lines, then you are used to forgetting them. So I think it's the same with information.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, it was Refuge.
Oh, really? Oh, that's, I don't know if I remember hearing Refuge, but yeah, right.
Weird name. Apparently, the story behind that, everyone at home, is Alan Bateman, who created it, was on holiday in Kangaroo Point. What a name of a place. How amazing. And the locals.
Is that in Brisbane? Was he up there? Oh, yeah.
It doesn't say where it is. I mean, what an amazing place. Have you heard of it, Kangaroo Point?
Yeah, there's a Kangaroo Point in Brisbane.
Wow, that's so cool. Anyway, these people up in arms about a foster home that was starting up, and apparently that's where the whole idea came from, which is amazing. But thank God it's not called Refuge. I mean, what an awful name that would have been.
Yeah, I'm glad they decided that.
Home and Away, yeah. And obviously, I don't know how this has bit slipped into my little notes here. We were saying about, before we go on with the point in this game, you were saying about Ray, obviously being at the funeral, he's the longest serving male, Lynn's the longest serving female. And to me, it sounds from speaking to everyone on the show, there's not a hierarchy there at all. It sounds like, and I know we always say it, but it sounds like it is a really nice, happy family there.
Yeah, it is, definitely.
Good. That was that. Just a random question within this. That wasn't a pointless fact. That wasn't a pointless fact. That was something that slipped down my notes. You were waiting for the actual pointless fact. It's not a pointless fact that Ray and Lynn are the patriarch and matriarch. That's real. Okay, right. So next actual pointless fact question. This is going to blow your mind. I said last week I was directing a special episode of Neighbours down here in London. which is amazing. But do you know two places outside of Australia, Home and Away has filmed? The only two places, actually.
Oh, London and or
is it kind of hula hula?
It's Hawaii.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. Because did they do a plane crash there? No,
I think it was a wedding in Hawaii. I'm not sure what they did in London. Okay. I don't know who came to London.
I thought they did a River Boys thing over in London.
Oh, so you missed that? God. That's gutting.
Yeah, I know. I would have loved that. The Braxtons went to London. That's right.
That was it. The Braxtons went to London. Oh no.
Yes.
Well, we need to gear up for a Braxton's visit London again.
I know we need to do like some sort of River Boy return.
River Boy return.
We'll have to pitch it.
Next one. How many? And I love the name of these awards. Logie Awards has Home and Away won. Yep. I mean, you're never going to know. Obviously, to whatever. Oh, just no. Have a wild guess.
Can I? I'll have a wild guess. 27.
No, you're putting it down, mate. 46. I know. Wow. Amazing.
All right, don't tell anyone I said that.
No, I won't. We'll dub it over. Yes, you're right. Amazing. we've got the British Soap Awards here. I mean, are they kind of the same? Is it kind of a big evening?
Yeah. It is a pretty big. It's probably our biggest in terms of how we celebrate TV pretty much, because it's the TV week Logies. And it's great. We've missed out on we missed this year's, and obviously we missed last year's due to COVID.
Zoom awards aren't quite great, good, are they?
No, but it's they're always a great event. The only unfortunate thing is that some of us, depending on where you are in your time of contract, you might have to work the following day back in Sydney. So for a couple of years, we obviously have it on the Gold Coast, and then we have to fly back the next morning, like 6 a.m., and then start filming on that Monday. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, the Soap Awards over here is crazy. If you ever get a chance to come, because obviously suddenly for one night, every single soap goes. So my first year, I was just dumbfounded because I hadn't worked in them all by then. But you've got Coronation Street, EastEnders, Hollyoaks, Emmerdale, Doctor. It's like, and then if you win, which we did, you're up there and just all these huge faces are looking at you. It's mad.
Wow. How many people go?
It's like most of the cars, like you said, I've had to film the next day and get a coach back to, they kind of, one year they do it up north and one year they do it down south to keep everyone happy. And yeah, often the coach back is just, no one's quite slept. And I mean, it's more what happens after the awards. Well, that's the soap in itself, to be honest.
I know. Always
remain secret. I mean, those secrets have never come out. Especially, if the pap sees someone from one soap snogging someone from another soap and they're too drunk to realise they're in the middle of kind of London. But anyway, how many versions of the theme song have there been? I didn't know this was so many, actually.
Yes. All right. Okay. 13.
No. Oh, you got a bit. 7. I've got.
Oh, I was going to say 7.
I thought you. I said that clue. You went, and I went.
Yeah.
We'll go for 7 because you were about to say 7. Okay. I should take.
I was about to say 7.
You were about to say 7. So I'm going to play you. I played this to Lucas last year, and he was quite blown away. Right. This is the best cover. I'll just play a bit. Hopefully, you'll hear it on the speaker of the Home and Away song. Are you ready for this? Someone had it as they walked down the aisle of their wedding.
What?
I know. Wow. In England. Wow. I did it. Everyone kind of laughed. So I'm not sure whether they were doing it kind of as, not that it's a bad song. I mean, it's quite a good song.
I like that one.
Yeah, that one's good. So that's there we go. There's a little Groove House rendition. Remember that? And in 1989, the theme was actually released in the UK. I mean, that's taking it a bit too far, in my opinion. Do you know what I mean? It's not.
Yes.
But what number did it reach? Another wild guess. And let me just say, it didn't do that well.
Oh, it didn't do that well. Okay. 43.
No, 73. Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's I would expect that. I don't know how many people are walking around listening
listening to the Home and Away song. And another little story, right? So when I was young, did you know?
Yep.
And I don't think many people in Home and Away know this, that Home and Away, the musical happened in England with original cast members. Did you know that?
What? No, yes. I didn't. That is truly impressive.
So there was actually a musical. It had Carly in, it had Bobby in, it had Ruth in. All these are all for, like, original characters. And I auditioned and didn't get the part of the kid that goes on stage at the beginning and jumps on a massive remote control. And the telly comes on. But yeah, it actually happened. There's no footage of it. I can't find it anywhere because it wasn't.
Wow, that'd be good to see.
Yeah, it wasn't kind of Phantom of the Opera. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, yeah. Of course.
Okay, next point, this question, two more of these, and then we'll carry on with the show. But what show being cancelled led to Home and Away being commissioned?
Oh, no idea.
Neighbours.
No idea.
So yeah, so Neighbours for Everyone was on Channel 10. On Channel 7, but it got axed. So Channel 10 took it up, and then Channel 7 needed something to replace it. So did Home and Away.
Oh, my gosh. That is a good pointless fact to know.
That is a good pointless fact. I did not know that. And the other, not that you'll want to know Neighbours ones, the best pointless fact ever is, if you watch Neighbours or if you know of it, you know it's based in Erinsborough. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's Erinsborough an anagram of? I'll just tell you, it's Neighbours. Which I'm like, I was ecstatic when I knew that pointless fact.
Oh, my gosh. Neighbours fans would be going wild about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And most Neighbours people don't know that. So there we go. This podcast is like storming with all the pointless facts here. And finally, in the pointless facts, how many people in the UK watched Home and Away at its peak every day?
Oh, I know the Australian recent one, but not the UK one. Not at its peak.
I'm guessing the
Australian one at the moment is 1.1.
Wow, million. That's good. That's really good.
Is it higher? Is it lower than? Or is
it's
it higher.
It's higher than that.
Oh wow. Okay. Or 2.6.
No, eight million.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Every night, wow. 8 million people watch Home and Away. No, I mean it was huge when I was younger. It was absolutely massive. I mean it's still big on Channel 5, obviously, but all ratings have gone down. But it's incredible.
Yeah, of course. That is amazing.
I think the highest Australian soap rating over here was Scott and Charlene's Wedding, which was 19.6 million, I think, at tea time.
Ooh,
I know.
Gosh, so that is incredible.
No pressure, but we'll get it back up there with you, mate. So we'll get it.
Well,
to
we. Thank you. Okay. I'll try.
Have you, what I love with Lynn is that she admitted on the podcast last year that she basically took Home and Away just so she could do Panto in the UK. I mean, downright admitted it, which I love. I read that you might be considering a move to the UK in the future at some point.
Yes, I think as the days go by, it gets more and more, I think, likely, because Soph is, she has a British passport. So I think at some point, we've both said, you know, if there's a place that we'd like to live overseas, I think the UK would be it.
Amazing.
I think we'd like to do it sooner rather than later. Yeah, definitely. Like my sister lived there for a couple of years and I came over and visited her a few times and she absolutely loved it. The weather was the big thing she said she had to adjust to, but for the most part, like, it's amazing. It's so different. And the pubs that you guys have over there are so, it's so great. And the atmosphere
vital part, Paddy, of where
vital,
you, the pubs.
That's it, man.
Absolutely vital. Where have you been? Have you just been to London or have you done kind of the north and various other places?
I've done a bit of UK. I've done Ireland, Scotland. I love Ireland. I'd love to go back. I think we're going to try and plan to go there. Maybe if everything goes to plan, halfway through next year.
Oh wow, Ireland's amazing. Because obviously your name, you must have Irish.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just fake American heritage. I mean, you actually have heritage.
You would assume so. It's a few generations, but my parents went all out. When they obviously named me.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, all out
but
Irish.
It's definitely the most common thing I get. Obviously, being on Home and Away, people ask me if I'm Irish or, you know, if my mum and dad live in Ireland.
It's the most, funny. Can I say, it's the most searched, when you put your name in Google, it's the most searched for question. Is Patrick O'Connor Irish?
You're kidding.
No.
That is amazing.
Yeah, that's the first thing that came up. And I still look for the answer because I was like, maybe he's hiding his really rich Irish accent underneath.
It's actually a fun fact. My great granddad is Japanese, so I'm something like an eighth. My mum's a quarter. I just tell people that from time to time.
Oh wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So it's there is a bit of Irish there, a bit of English, and tiny bit of Japanese.
I did. My husband for Christmas bought me one of those like DNA things that tells you. What you're made up those. Of.
What did you
amazing?
Get?
Well, mine was really weird. I was like a 3% or something South American, which was basically like a totally different race than me. Yeah, I know. I was basically a bit of everything. I was quite a lot. I was quite a lot Irish, actually. I was a bit Latvian, I think.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a weird.
I love that. I love the idea that you can gift those kind of things. Most people don't know. Yeah,
it also tells you stuff like. It basically, from your DNA, it tells you you are like 92% likely to have blue eyes. And basically every single one of these things was right about me. Like your little toe is 94% going to be smaller. Than, it's like, oh my God.
Wow.
I know. You need to get with
well, that. I'm going to do it.
Sophie's Christmas present sorted. Or sorted, you just buy sorted. It for yourself Thank from you. Her. That's better. Right. Okay. So to get on with Home and Away, this is, it's a bit, oh God, sorry for another quiz, but it just gets me through it. But this is how we get to manage a potted history of your character. Because obviously so much has happened. So we'll start kind of at the beginning. And actually, you've already given this away at the beginning because you said this. But think of what you said already. When starting, what was Dean given that real life Paddy really wanted? Which is what your sister told you. Basically.
Tattoo. Yeah. Tattoo.
I love that.
The blood and sand tattoo.
So Definitely. Where is the tattoo? Because it's one of those annoying things that probably in makeup you have to go in like 2 hours earlier than everyone else if you have to see it.
It's actually not too bad because as it is at the moment, my arm tattoo is no longer on. I just get the blood and sand one on. So it's only when I'm wearing like singlets or if we're obviously doing surf scenes or anything like that. But it just gets – did you ever get the chewing gum where – between the chewing gum and the wrapper, there was this tattoo that you could just slap on your arm and put a wet washer over it.
Oh, I used to love those.
It's a massive one of those. And then they put this glue liquid over the top that kind of mattifies the tattoo so it kind of blends in with your skin. And that's like a 20-minute process. When the boys were on before, the old Root boys, they had to spray them on, and that took a lot longer.
Oh wow! Oh, I know.
Yeah, so they were in the chair for like 2 hours, whereas mine's like half an hour maybe.
Oh, that's okay. My mate in Emmerdale got involved in an accident in the show. Yeah, and they gave him a facial injury. I mean, I've always said to him, I think they hated you.
Oh yeah,
they must have hated you. So he had to go in two and a half hours earlier every day. Oh my God! I was Go on, sorry.
It's like if on the show they're to like break your arm or your leg or something like that, they have to put a cast every single time that you go on. So obviously you've done something wrong.
Well, there is someone, this is a rumor, I won't say the actor's name, in Emmerdale years ago that got put in a wheelchair, which apparently was the producer's way of just getting back at him because no one liked him.
Oh, wow. It's a big thing.
Okay, so whose caravan did Dean sneak into to cause trouble at the beginning?
Oh,
it was a kind of a couple, and the girl was obviously quite important to him in the end.
Oh, it was Willow. Was it Willow?
Yeah, Willow. Yeah,
yeah, Willow. She was staying in the one next door. Yeah, Willow. Yeah, yeah.
And they were obviously it was a great big relationship. They were not good for each other. Obviously, I mean, they were doing lots of things, including scamming, credit card scamming. And what I loved is that within that first credit card scamming, Alf was knocked to the floor unconscious, and Irene was one of the first. To be scammed. I mean, you went straight for the legend.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. I remember when we filmed that scene where I bumped Ray over, and Ray just said to me before we started, he's like, you realize your career's over after you
That's brilliant.
I was like, wow. And then I thought about it because when it did come to air, there was initially like a lot being like, oh my gosh, you've knocked Ray over, like you've knocked over Alf. And I was like, oh my God, wow, it's like I've done something like sacrilegious here. This is incredible. It's incredible. But yeah,
I read
the top dogs early.
I read that Ray, who plays Alf, basically they wanted him at first for 2 years, which is quite massive at the beginning of a show. And he was like, oh, I'm never going to be in it for that long. So he only signed 2 months, and 34 years later, he's still back. But that story with Willow included obviously a big addiction story, and we'll get to your current story at the moment. But do you feel even though it's kind of fun to do, it's very like Cops and Robbers, isn't it? Is it quite a pressure when you're doing a storyline that you know kind of affects lots of people at home?
Definitely. Like I've had a few storylines over the few years that I could see how they are quite common or they resonate a lot with the audience, especially when the gambling one, but also with Dean's mother when she came into the bay. Like a lot of like mental health is obviously huge, getting a lot of attention now, and it's a really, really good thing that people are becoming more aware of it. But also people aren't aware of it. They've seen that kind of behavior, but they don't really know what it is. And for those people, it can kind of help. Or, you know, the show goes through several stages, and if you watch the story, there are red flags and stuff like that, or just signs that, you know, to ask for help. And it doesn't always go, Home and Away story doesn't always go, you know, the positive way. But when it does, I think it's a good thing for the audience to see.
Yeah, no, it's true. I think soap, I've always said soap's got a unique position to do storylines like that, because you go and watch a film and it's over in 2 hours or whatever, but a soap is in people's lounges every day or wherever you watch telly. So when you do stories, I've seen the reaction from stories we've done. It's incredible, isn't it? When you know that people have kind of listened, it makes you feel like we are actually doing something proper.
Oh, it's so good. So many people, I've had like messages over the years on certain storylines, and it definitely just warms up your heart, because you do at the time when you're reading, when you're going through the blocks and you're rehearsing them, and you're trying to get all the wording right and making sure that it's done in a way that's respectful at the same time.
Yeah.
It when it pays off, you know, that's why you do it, you know, like it's such a good feeling.
Right. Next question. This, I feel a bit more like morning telly there, that we've just talked about something really serious and I've got to move on. I couldn't do it in a really discreet way.
We'll
so I've just said next
we'll
question.
Back.
so, okay. Next question. So two jobs Dean has had. Yeah. Now he's not the most, obviously he's probably not got the best CV, Dean.
No, definitely not.
Name two jobs he's had.
Okay, name two. So he's worked as a surf instructor.
Yeah.
And he was briefly at the garage for a little bit.
I've got a waiter as well. Was he a waiter?
Oh, yeah. That's right, when he worked at Salt. There was a period of time for a solid month there. My actual filming was just spraying tables and wiping them. Like that's what I was getting paid to do.
Yeah. People, when they take on like a pub in the soap, all the actors I know, half of them is elated because it means they're going to get really good money because they're basically in every episode. And then the other half of them is like, I'm now a glorified supporting artist for the rest of my life here.
That is it. That is very correct. It's like when there's a cop, whoever gets the role of the cop, obviously you're going to be very busy, because I don't know many soaps where there's not a lot of crime, or at least in Home and Away, there's a lot of crime.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's a lot of crime everywhere. You wouldn't live in any of these.
A lot of screen time.
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
Definitely not. It's people go, Home and Away is such an escapist thing. And it's like, really?
Really? Where do you want to escape to?
Where do you want to escape to? okay. So, because of feelings harbored, that I've totally messed up this question. So we're just going to get to the answer, which is basically recently, loads of people have left. So River, who played your son, left. The character of Amber left. Colby, who obviously you said you went into the show, left. And Willow left. I mean, I know what it's like in real life. It must be hard to see all, especially when they're related to your story so much, but then in real life, they're your best mates. It must be hard. Is it hard then going to work the next day? You know what I mean? And carrying on as normal.
It was a massive gear shift when that kind of like River family ended. Like Colby went, and then Amber and Jai came in and then left, and Willow left all in the space of like 4 months. It was bizarre, because naturally storylines keep going and everything has to move at that pace. But you know, it kind of, you just take it as it was a good ride, and you just move forward.
Yeah,
it was a bit sad at the same time.
It's much better for it to be like that than, you know, not getting on with someone at work. I mean, at least it's something you can look back and look back fondly on. And right, final question, and this is what brings us to the current story, which has been huge. What jumped in the road causing a huge car crash? I mean, could only happen in Australia, obviously.
Kangaroo,
yeah. Which is, did I read that that's happened to you in real life?
Yeah, when I was younger, we went on a drive around Australia, just a road trip around Australia with mum and dad, and a kangaroo jumped into the back of the car and just hit the four-wheel drive we were in. Just it looked like a massive dent. Like if a kangaroo, you're not meant to swerve.
Oh, I thought you meant jumped into the back of the. I think they jumped into the back of the car, like with you on the back seat. No, you don't mean that.
Oh, no, no. Just no. Hit the back of the car and just like a Mac definitely not jumped in.
Definitely not jumped in and just took a ride.
We would, yeah, it would have been crazy. You're not meant to swerve. First rule about driving in Australia, especially at those times, is you just don't swerve, unfortunately, because you're more likely to do more damage.
Oh, God. What, you're supposed to just crash into it?
Yeah, because I mean, the show, if you either swerve and you drive off a cliff or you don't.
Yes. Yeah. So luckily in real life, what happened to you guys in the show didn't happen where you went onto a cliff. I mean, I saw it. It was a great stunt. I mean, I've done some stunts. They're nerve-wracking because you know how much money they cost. And you're like, please, God, go right. Crazy. But how did you get the car? How did the car go off the thing? Off the cliff?
They pretty much mounted the car on obviously the edge of the mount or the edge of the hill. And they put a little ramp underneath it and then put pretty much a massive air cannon behind it.
Wow.
And I don't know, you know, how much power or force was used, but when the cannon went off, it blew the boot off the back of the car.
Oh, my God.
And if you just watch the footage of the takes of the car just rolling instead of all the snippets of the ins and the outs, the car is absolutely destroyed. Like, they
before
were so
it goes off.
When we filmed it. Yeah, but they were so worried when we filmed the car flipping. They were like, there's no way that anyone's going to watch this and think they didn't die. Like, there's no way.
But, so we'll just blow it to bits before it goes off.
Magic of TV. It just kept rolling down the hill. Like, they thought it was only going to roll once or twice, but it ended up rolling like five or six times.
Which
just kept going.
It's still going. There's a really funny story. Who told me on the podcast this season, someone from Neighbours, that they... if you watch an old stunt before, they kind of had as many trickery things as now. They put dummies in the car as it went off a cliff. And you saw the wig of the dummy fly out the window just as it went off the cliff. Total giveaway that it wasn't the person. But I mean, it is so exciting, isn't it? It's when you do this job. I mean, directing's, oh God, so nerve-wracking when I do stunts, because like the stunt, you know, the stunt people get paid every time they're used. And I always say this, stunt people try to act and they're not very good at acting. So you have this really over the top. And you're like, so for once you're going, can you just not act? Can you just kind of basically jump off the cliff and get on with it?
Yeah.
But
exactly.
It's exhilarating, isn't it, doing stuff like that?
It's very cool. Like I've been fortunate enough to do a pretty, like it's natural with, I guess, the Riverboy storyline to do some pretty dramatic stunts. Like when we did the car chase with Ross, and we're running down, he's got a gun, and then Tim gets to shoot him. You know, that was so much fun because I think, When you're at acting school, and it even goes back to like when you're a kid and you're running around playing cops and robbers, that stuff is it kind of fulfills that little kid in you that's like that loves doing those things.
Yeah, I've always dreamed of being kind of in a detective show. You know where you stand against the wall and you lean around and put the gun out to see if anyone's there. That's my dream.
Every boy has wanted to do that.
Yeah, that is the dream. And having a hot kind of partner that you're kind of playing a relationship with, but nothing's really happening. That's the dream of any actor. But going really serious again, the aftermath of that, and Dean's obviously been really injured and is pushing everyone away. Obviously him and Ziggy have got back together, which thrilled the nation, but obviously PTSD is a huge thing as well, and it's kind of comparing it, I suppose, to people in the army that come back and don't want to be seen as weak and kind of not being able to cope with it. So again, a huge story to take on, isn't it?
I mean, his hesitation to get help and his hesitation to like use medication is, you know, it's massive, because I think a lot of people do have that kind of that fear if something has happened in the past. But Dean just he doesn't like help, and he doesn't like medical help, so the road to recovery is a difficult one for him.
And what's it like being back, obviously, with Sophie? So Ziggy is him in the show and Sophie's real life. I mean, it must be, I mean I've never been in the position, is it not a bit weird when you're going in kind of playing a love interest as different characters in the show and then obviously a normal out of life, or is it just totally fine? I mean, because I suppose at the beginning, was it a big, because obviously, I mean, I compared to Kylie and Jason earlier, which is, I was being funny, but it is that kind of thing that, you know, the public are going to take a massive interest if this relationship goes ahead.
Yeah.
Was it kind of a questionable thing when you got together in real life?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very different in the sense that, like, there's always kind of 30 or 40 people watching, filming going on all the time. Like, that is, I think people in the audience sometimes forget that
For most people, that's different. I mean, some people might be into that in real life, but, you know, they're all good.
Some people might be into that. You're right. But for the most part, like, it is, you know, because we've been working with each other for a few years now, I think we've found, like, a good rhythm between, like, kind of when we get to work, it kind of switches on, and then when we finish work, it switches off. And that kind of makes the transition quite smooth or different at the same time.
What about if you've had like a huge argument at home and you have to go in? I mean, not that, you know, my thesis in life, by the way, everyone out there, my mum taught me this, is if you have an argument, make up before the evening's over, because you never know what happens. So I do. My arguments don't last long with my husband. But if you have, is it a bit weird then? Or the other way round, you know, is it, do you just...
The argument ones are kind of fun. I think Soph likes to throw a bit of anger. She loves a bit of an angry scene. Well, it's always a bit of a you always kind of get a bit of a release from a big angry one as well, which is a bit of fun.
Yeah, no, it's true. And let me dispel some other myths about Australia for you right now. We've basically worked out that's, and now you both need to release a Christmas record, obviously, because that's going to be huge. So you could, could re-record, especially for you, couldn't you? We could sign that up today. We could get that going. That could be massive. Can you both sing?
We could. Yeah, well, Sophie can. I could do something in the background, yeah.
Amazing. Oh, my God. This is a bit, we'll release it for Christmas. Get you guys over. You can do a UK tour.
Yep. That sounds great. We'll time it out well. It'll be a six-week run.
Yes.
One song.
One song. But we'll do every remix. We'll do every remix of it so it can last a while. Okay, so is it always sunny in Home and Away? Because obviously we always say it's always sunny.
Definitely not. The last month has been the weather's just been all over the shop. Some days, obviously, when you go up there, it's almost like picture perfect.
Yeah,
the water looks crystal. The sunrises are incredible up there. But when it storms, it's wild. Like it's a crazy place to be. And we film all the time. Even when it's raining, we just have to adjust the spots where we do film. Keep the cameras undercover. And we just keep rolling, but it can get pretty torrential up there as well. You can have four seasons in one day.
Yeah, that's the same as the Emmerdale Village. And obviously you're the same. I mean, you have you've got no way out of it because you sometimes have to be topless, obviously, because it's Home and Away and you're surfing. So it must be like the girls over here in Emmerdale, you know, anyone playing a slightly raunchy character who has short skirts and is, you know, filming Summer in February. So literally we've got all North Faces on and they're dying, but it must be the same for you suddenly when you've got to strip off and it's freezing cold.
Oh, definitely. I'll never forget, there was a day about a year and a half ago where we were on the beach and Sophie, it was about 9 degrees. And obviously that may not be that cold for you guys, but she's on the beach in her bikini and we're wet. And it's just, it was horrific. It was freezing. It was so cold. Everyone's lips were going blue. And then they have to put ice cubes in your mouth to warm your mouth up.
Oh, my God.
It's so bizarre. So bizarre.
That is, I know, one of the non-glamorous things about filming that no one really knows, isn't it? It's like, and I have to bring this up, and I know you'll kill me, because I what I loved is a laugh out loud video of you and Sophie that you use a little Barbara Windsor. You know who Barbara Windsor is?
No.
Okay, so she was one of our legends. She was in Carry On Films and she was in EastEnders. And when I started working there, she used to have her own little walkway behind the bar to lift her up. And Sophie revealed that you've had to use... I've never heard of these pancakes.
Brilliant. This hasn't... Ever since she mentioned that, this is...
Has that not gone away? I bet that's haunted you.
It has not gone away. Yeah, I do. Occasionally, they call them apple boxes.
That's all right. Tom Cruise does it.
I know, and that's what everyone says.
Apparently, it's when he did Far and Away with Nicole Kidman, they had to dig trenches for her.
Oh, I know. I've heard about that. I remember there was one day on set where it was yonks ago, a couple of years now. I was facing one direction and then I had to turn around. And there was another camera in the other direction. So I had to turn around and take like 20 steps. On the rehearsal, there's nothing there. On the take, the call action, I'm facing the camera, I wait 2 beats, turn around, start walking, and then there's just 8 apple boxes in front of me lined up. and no one's laughing. No one's laughing or anything like that. And the director just says, go on.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But, yeah, how tall are you? Let's put the...
I'm about 5'10". I'm average.
I think that's... I'm fine. Yeah, you're probably the same height as or a bit taller than me. I've never been cool. Yeah. I quite happily use an Apple box, but you now also claim to fame. You can say you're the male Barbara Windsor. Say to be Barbara Windsor's basically a, you know, living legend. I mean, she's actually dead now, rest in peace. But yeah, so it's amazing. But it was the same when I joined EastEnders. Basically, there was this heightened bot, you know, area around the bar, and I find everything hilarious. So I started laughing. Everyone was like looking at me like, "Oh God, don't laugh, don't bring it up." And it's like, well, it's quite obvious. Do you know what I mean?
It's so obvious. I mean, you have to laugh at it. If you're not laughing at it, I imagine it would be quite awkward.
Just quite awkward. The fact that she's stepping out, and she was totally fine, and she was laughing with me. So I was like, oh, thank God, because it's like, this is ridiculous that no one's talking about it.
The trickiest bit is just making it look smooth. Like, yeah. It's quite hard to make it look smooth.
Mid scene as well, if you have to suddenly up onto them.
That's it.
You need to practice, as I said in the Queen Vic, when the sets, I went into EastEnders, obviously still, whenever I go to a new TV show, I'm still like a stupid kid who expects everything to be like it is on TV. So I thought the pub was a high, two levels, because the staircase, everyone was always climbing up the stairs. But what I realised is these amazing actors like Barbara Windsor actually had to do that pretend going up the stairs thing.
Yeah.
Behind the banister.
When you go up the staircase, going up to Salt, and you're looking up as if you're like walking into a restaurant, it's bizarre when you're just staring at a ceiling.
Yeah, you're just staring at a ceiling. A new actor as well on Emmerdale, I love this. You know, like the stairs go nowhere and they just go over the edge. She ran up in a scene, her first ever scene, but didn't realise that, so just went running off the set and fell.
You're kidding.
Back onto the studio floor.
Oh.
I know. I mean, I said to her, surely it was quite obvious that there was nothing there. Do you know what I mean? But
definitely. When you were running up, didn't you see where you were running?
Yeah. So anyway, well, it's been amazing to have you on the podcast. Thank you. Everyone obviously still loves having away. Love the fact if you're coming to the UK, we'll have a pub tour. We'll make it a program. We'll commission a program.
I like that. I will take you up on that offer.
That would be really good. So but in the last couple of questions for you. So what's the dream? What is the, you know, is there a role? Is there a show? I mean, what's the dream for you job wise?
I'd love to work in some TV or do some series over in the UK, definitely. Like British TV is so popular here in Australia. So I'd love to do something like that. But I think I'd love to live overseas.
I could see you in what kind of thing? Have you seen Line of Duty?
Do not mind you, but like Peaky Blinders, maybe.
Yeah,
even I'm going to go as far as say something as like Game of Thrones. I'd love.
Oh, I mean, start small. It's always good.
Yeah, yeah. It's just something crazy. So far away from here.
Yeah, Game of Thrones. Well, sorry, my dog's now barking. He's so excited by you and Game of Thrones. But I read recently that Game of Thrones cost by the end $15 million an episode.
Wow.
I
that
know.
Is amazing.
A 16 amazing. Million with you added onto it.
Nice. I like that.
Well, it's been amazing to have you on, and hopefully we'll meet up in real life one time soon. But for now, brilliant. Thank you, Paddy, for being a guest.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
Thank you to Patrick O'Connor for being my guest on Soap from the Box. Could you hear the birds and stuff in the background? You can just tell he's in the sunshine in Australia. Remember, you can head and listen to Soap from the Box on anotherslice.com, where you can also subscribe. And very soon, you will be able to hear some bonus episodes, bonus chats and quizzes that no one else can get. So head there now and subscribe. I will be back next week with another brand new episode. Who is it going to be? I'm going to keep that as a surprise. Have a good week.